I don't know what you've heard about G.
Goff.
But he's with the sweet spot 1-3. He loves some red dirt and some Jordan Spieth. He's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about G. But he's with the sweet spot 1-3. He loves fajitas and some UNT. He's the afternoon J-U-B.
You're up. Little afternoon jub. Sponsor?
Globe Life.
Yeah.
Damn hell. Jub. Goff.
What up?
Hey, Sweet Spot with Monty.
Hello.
How we doing? Hey, could I give just a little bit of historical perspective to something?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think, and you may be right, Mino, maybe this was the first act of Jerry trying to be seen and make a ruckus, but you have to understand this was 1989, and I bet most people at Mia's would not have known that was Jimmy Johnson, and we didn't know really what Jerry Jones looked like yet. The only reason that picture got taken at the exact same time, Ivan Maisel, who covered college football for the Dallas Morning News, was at Mia's and recognized Jimmy and put two and two together. Didn't have a cell phone. They didn't have those then. He went to the payphone. And he called the Dallas Morning News and said, you might want to get down here. Jimmy Johnson's in town.
And so they were there.
It just feels like too much of a coincidence. Do you think that Jerry knew that it was the favorite Tex-Mex restaurant?
I really don't.
Interesting.
I mean, you may be right. Jerry may have done some research and said, oh, this is where Landry likes to go, huh? Let's go have some fajitas. But I really think he just stumbled into that. No one knew what he looked like. And had Ivan Maisel not been there that night, that picture never gets taken.
I wonder if they were sitting next to the place where they give you the tortilla to play with. Or am I thinking of a different Mexican food restaurant?
Tia's. Oh. R.I.P. Tia's. Which was greatness. Tia's and Denton.
Jerry and Jimmy Tia's, weren't sitting there.
Tia's.
Splitting up fried
onions.
We used to do the Daryl Dickey show at Tia's.
Really? Oh, my gosh.
Way back in
the
day.
That was definitely my childhood. They'd give you the crayons in the tortilla dough. And you could...
Number one.
Oh, my gosh.
And
so
boy,
great.
That would be a way to make sure you get George on board to coach your football team if he takes you for fajitas. Man, after
the greatest
my own
entree
heart.
Of the last 40 years, debate it.
Hot. Sports.
The
I
most
can't.
Impactful
I can't,
yeah. entree of the last 40 years.
Now, impactful, okay, I don't know that I can fight you on because that's so subjective.
What if we go back 50 years? Is there something that that beats it?
Yeah, there may have been something in the 70s like...
Meatloaf?
Meatloaf.
Or tuna casserole?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe that's when the burger dominated was the 70s.
I know that's when
McDonald's and Burger King exploded and all that. So
you've told us before that fajitas are the most impactful food of the last 50 years. But I would like to know, and maybe you can have this list for us next week, who else is in your top five or what else is in your top five? Because I need to know what fajitas is beating.
I would debate. If I was debating me, I would bring up sushi.
That's a good one.
That wasn't a thing,
no.
You know, 40 years ago.
Right.
And I would say that's a thing now. Now, do as many people eat sushi as they eat fajitas and get fajita shirt every Friday night? I don't think so.
No, because you still have some holdouts. Like my dad, if I ever was to offer, hey, Dad, do you want to go get sushi? He would say, no, I got a tub of a stink bait in the garage I can eat if you want me to do that.
Yeah. I'm not going fishing, so no.
Right. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to reach in there and eat a minnow. So no, I'm not going to eat your sushi. But you're right. I think fajitas are more universal than sushi, too.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think you're going to have a hard time defeating fajitas over the last 40 years since they got introduced here in the, was it late 70s?
We're always looking for new band names for our ticket band at Ticket Stock and stuff. And I'm writing down defeating fajitas.
Write down grocery store sushi also.
Okay.
That's
they're the opening act.
That's very roadside couch.
Very.
It's in the same vein. So I wanted to ask you something because I heard you mention this today on the award-winning Musers. Y'all were talking about the unfortunate story where a guy shot at some kids playing Ding Dong Ditch. But you mentioned that there was no greater feeling as an 8 or 9 year old than playing Ding Dong Ditch and seeing the person that you got be all surprised that, well, hey, my doorbell rang, yet I see no one on my doorstep.
Yeah. It was our favorite sport outside of baseball in the summertime. We played baseball, we swam, and then at night it was a question, okay, where are we gonna go play Ding Dong Ditch?
Let's go inconvenience our neighbors.
And it was usually either the neighbor that you thought was the meanest one on the block because you wanted to inconvenience them somehow.
Sure.
Or a girl that you liked.
Ooh.
You know, just to kind of see what was up.
Yeah.
And if she would come to the door, you know, and then you maybe you saw her at the pool the next day and said, hey, did your doorbell ring last night? Yeah. Yeah. That's the way
I
operated.
I pressed it. No hands.
I rang that bell.
And
it's definitely one that I don't know if kids do it anymore, but your generation, George, our generation definitely did it.
Well, you can't do it now because I'd ring doorbell your ass and immediately call you out.
Yeah,
but you would.
You're dead meat now.
You wouldn't travel far. It might be at most you're going two blocks over. It's like, all right, we know.
Yeah,
Johnny lives on Elm Street. We're going to go over there.
Well,
and
it'd
get
be
him.
Like,
and there was really no plan afterwards.
It'd be like what we talk about. You're casing a job. You have to find somewhere that you could do it and be able to run and hide and see, because you don't want to ding dong ditch somebody and not catch their reaction.
Right. Yeah. You run across the street and get into bushes or somewhere where you can see the reaction. And then you pray that hopefully they can't see you. Sometimes you're just like a yard over.
Yeah.
And you're watching, and then you hear, hey, you kids. And then you run off.
Damn you. And they got their fist in the air. Yeah.
But I think I told the guys on the morning show this. I can't remember if it was on the air, but we played Ding Dong Ditch. Or did I tell you guys this, that our neighbors.
The handicapped neighbor?
No.
Oh.
No, he was not in a wheelchair or anything like that. We waited. We did case the joint, and we knew that this girl was babysitting her baby brother, and we kind of liked the girl.
Oh, yeah.
So we waited until her parents went across the street to go to some dinner party, and we started ding-dong ditching. And I think that one, we were really brave. We were, like, waiting in her bushes outside the house, and next thing we knew, we were lifted in the air by her dad, who really smelled of gin or something.
Oh, man.
And he said,
get out of my daughter's bush.
I don't know what you're doing, but it better stop right now. And we just went, yes, sir. And off we went.
You went about your merry way.
That may have been the last time I played Ding Dong Ditch.
He scared you straight from Ding Dong Ditch?
Yes, I was scared straight that night because I really thought he was going to kill us.
He never
really did.
He didn't follow you home and tell your parents or anything?
No, he didn't. But in today's world, that would have been a problem probably for most helicopter parents. You can't lift my son off. Because I think he ripped my shirt and everything.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I wasn't about to tell my parents what I was doing. So.
No. You just say you got
in a
fight.
Yeah, I think that did scare me straight. I saw that, man, this is really dangerous, dangerous work.
Well, that's what you did. If you felt like you were being ding-dong ditched, you had to immediately look for the chuckling bushes. Because that's where the perpetrators were hiding. So just look around for the bushes that are chuckling. All right, there they are. Yeah, also, that's a good one.
Because we all... Like I said, we don't have the plan to escape. Because the one time I got caught, George, like you, it was me and a buddy.
I didn't plan a rendezvous
point. Yeah, the guy just like runs out, and we already rang the bell like 3 or 4 times. He catches us eventually, and he was so mad. He probably picked us up. He's like, all right, where do you kids live? And we had no plan. We're like, and it's our neighborhood, so it's a street or two over is where I'm at, and my buddy was right down the road. And we're just kind of looking at each other like, I don't want to tell him where we live. And I just go, where I live right here. And it wasn't our house. It was just some random house. So he goes up to that door, rings the bell.
Oh, no.
And luckily, nobody answered. We're like, oh, sorry.
Oh, man, you should have just taken off, and then he would have been left there.
Mom and Dad's not home. And we said, you'll just have to come back later. He's like, oh, okay. So we, like, walk around, jump over that fence, wait for about an hour to make sure he was gone, and then we went home, and we never did it again.
You hit in the boat like the Sarnaevs?
Yeah, we hit in the boat for a couple
weeks. I like George's idea of turning it around on him and making him play ding dong ditch on somebody.
Yeah. It's like, all right, now standing there, that way.
Just yelling at him as you run away. Hey, don't play ding dong ditch.
Yeah, you basically turn him into a Scooby Doo villain at that point. He's like those damn kids.
Those meddling kids.
Yeah, kids don't play it anymore, and I don't see as much toilet paper in trees anymore.
We need to bring that back.
That was a big deal.
Again, I think that's it's just too easy to get caught now because I could see on the Ring camera, the bunch of idiots out there chunking the Charmin over my tree. So at least back then, you would go out there and it would be a huge beating to have to clean all that crap out of your trees. But never really knew who did it. You'd have an idea. Mm-hmm. But unless someone fessed up, how would you know?
You hoped it was like a good looking girl in your class.
And yeah. It never was.
She's probably doing this because she wants to do me. And that was never
the sign.
Well,
never
I was going to say she liked you more than that as you're in fourth or fifth grade, Monty. Yeah.
I was a young bloomer.
Has ass cancer.
But yeah, we need to bring that back. The one I never partook in, and maybe this was just in media, was the leaving the bag of
poop
dog crap on a door.
Oh man,
that seemed,
we never had the guts to do that.
Yeah,
but what
it seemed too far.
Yeah, what a genius prank, though, if you could get it to work.
Get it on fire.
And that was the other thing about ringing the bell. You wouldn't just ring it once. You would try to
go back,
hit it like eight times, like it was an emergency.
You start slamming on the little door knocker. So it starts putting chips in there.
Go away, Baton.
Oh, no.
Well,
I don't know what kids do for fun now.
They play Roblox.
Yeah. Video games.
Yeah, probably.
They sit there and play Fortnite, drink chug juice.
Play with their drones.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anyway, well, our generation's better. That's always the takeaway from these conversations.
Always better.
Our generation's better. We came up with fajitas.
That's right.
It's true.
You're going to put that on the Dunham gravestone.
Yeah.
We got Uncrustables, though.
Yeah, we have Uncrustables and...
Yeah, what about that?
Those are good. I'm mad I didn't find those until I was like 35.
I know.
Me as a kid,
man,
I would crush those when
I was a kid.
Yeah, that's...
Is Ham still eating them every day?
He's eating one right now.
He eats three a day.
Oh, my gosh.
He's up to 150 pounds.
He's finally getting nutrition now. That's good.
And I can get Ham to probably do anything if I just offer him an Uncrustable. And he's like a dog. Okay. If he hears me going through my bag and he hears a wrapper, his head darts over to me. What do you need? I could ask him to walk to Rowlett. And he would do it for that Uncrustable that cost me 88 cents.
In like a year, is Ham going to have a dad bod?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
If there's a God in this world.
That would be great.
All right, George. We appreciate your time as always.
Yeah.
Yeah, have a good Why Today Doesn't Suck.
And we'll see you at Fight Night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There he is.
There he goes. Our
pal, boys.
George Dunham.